Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about alternative treatments or some suggested alternative treatments to autism, for autism, and we're going to debunk some of them, I think.
We're going to use the phrase alternative treatments, mm-hmm. not bogus cures.
Right, okay, right.
But we're tempted.
With some of them we are. But you will see what we're talking about in just a few minutes.
This is something that bothers us generally.
Right.
Because right. all of the disorders that we deal with could have this chapter written about them, about
right.
bogus cures.
Right.
There are people out there who will try to sell you things.
You're dancing.
I want to just unload. Well, and I won't.
Yeah.
But we're going to call them alternative treatments.
Right. And the reason that we'll do that is because some of you may try some of these things.
That's right.
And you may see some benefits.
Right.
And we'll talk about a little bit about why that happens.
Right.
But yeah. So one of the first things is the autism diet.
Diet.
You know, and there is some people out, there are some people out there talking about
right.
an autism diet that's typically, you know, being gluten-free, casein-free, or mm-hmm. dairy-free.
Gluten and dairy are the two that
right.
have been targeted.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that right, those are the two primary. And I think that what we have to remember is that, well, now we've talked about diet in many podcasts.
Right.
And we've often talked about being gluten-free and dairy-free mm-hmm. because those are two substances that create
right.
a lot of inflammation
right.
and problems in our digestive
mm-hmm.
system and our body.
Right.
So when we think about that same scenario with children with autism, mm-hmm. there's just a few things that we need to think about. First off, we know that one of those associated characteristics of with autism is hypersensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, they're hypersensitive.
Right, so they're very sensitive to bright lights. They're very sensitive to
loud sounds.
Mm-hmm. And it's
textures.
Just right. So we know they're very sensitive. And if they're very sensitive on the outside, they're probably very sensitive on the inside as well.
It would not be surprising to learn that that same sort of sensitivity exists inside the
right.
body as it does outside the body.
Right.
Right.
So when we think about a autism diet, and, mm-hmm. and especially a diet that eliminates gluten and casein or gluten and dairy,
right.
it is very likely that giving a child with autism that type of mm-hmm. diet restriction is going to see some improvement in their irritability and agitation.
That said,
it's not treating autism.
We're likely to see those benefits in children who don't have autism.
Right. So we see those same benefits with lots of other things, whether it's ADHD or non-diagnosed anything.
Right.
We see those same benefits with other people. But again, we're not treating autism per se.
That's right.
We're being cognizant of
mm-hmm.
things that our children with autism are responding to.
That's right.
But we're not, it's not going to necessarily make the child communicate more
mm-hmm.
or have better social interactions. It may decrease inattention. It may decrease agitation and irritability. But it's just those associated features.
Right.
And
just because a child responds positively to a gluten-free diet doesn't mean that gluten is the cause of the autism.
Right.
We're not talking about autism. We're
right.
talking about inflammation.
Right.
You know, which may exacerbate existing symptoms and make them
right.
worse. But it's not the cause. Just
right.
because they respond, it's not the cause of autism.
Well, and we're going to talk about the cause stuff in just a couple of minutes because, you'll see. Now, another thing that we see is the reported benefits of supplements.
Right.
So we have omega-3s, we have, remember there was a guy here in Florida for a while
yeah.
that was selling some gummy
mm-hmm.
vitamins that he said cured
right.
autism,
cured
and he was debunked, I believe.
Right.
And for much of the same reason that we were just talking about diet,
right.
there are those who may find some benefits of increasing certain supplements and nutrients and micronutrients in their child's diet. Again, you're mainly dealing with associated features, mm-hmm. and those benefits that the child you witness in the child with that right. are going to be similar to improvements and benefits that you're going to see in children with other things as well.
Yeah, just in anybody. And you're talking about omega-3s now, right?
Right, primarily omega-3s, right. Yeah.
Which would be a benefit to most of us. Right. I mean, most of us are encouraged to increase our intake of omega-3.
Right,
one
right.
way or the other.
Right. Now, another treatment idea that people have is many times children with autism, they don't sleep very well. And so we can treat that through the supplement of melatonin and other sleep aids and mm-hmm. things like that. It's not great to give kids some of right. these sleep aids over a long period of time, mm-hmm. but they are substances that can help children improve their sleep. And of course, it kind of goes back to that inflammation stuff, because if you're not sleeping well, your body's stressed, and if your body's stressed, you're going to be more agitated and more irritable, and right. so you're going to have more of those issues.
Yep. Yeah.
So melatonin is a great way to help with sleep.
And we know that sleep is important to all children,
right?
Not just children with autism, but children with ADHD, children with Down. Sleep is an important part of the daily routine.
Right.
So anything we can do to increase sleep better,
right.
is probably going to have beneficial effects.
Absolutely. Now, before we start with this next one, there's something that just has to be said. And that is, we're confident that autism is not caused by immunizations.
I'm confident. There was another report yeah. that came out 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And once again,
yeah.
there was a mega study. It was 95 studies that were analyzed. And they mm-hmm. did a meta-analysis of 95 studies.
Right.
Once again, no connection.
Right. And these are studies done around the world. So it's not just in the United States. These are in Europe and
all over the world.
All over right. the world. Mm-hmm. Immunizations does not cause right. autism. Now, let me say this. There are conditions in which we can put a child or a person mm-hmm. under particular stimulus states where they will present with autistic features.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you poison someone with mercury, for example, right. they're going to present with certain mm-hmm. characteristics, some of which may resemble autism.
Right.
And could look like they're a person with autism spectrum disorder.
Right.
But that person has what we call mercury poisoning. They don't have autism.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get into treatments such as chelation therapy... What chelation therapy does is it is an intensive process
right.
of cleaning the body of heavy metals. Not like... heavy metals, you know, but heavy metals like mercury and lead and some of those kinds of things. We've known for years and years and years, right. lead poisoning results in not just brain damage, but it can result in ADHD-like symptoms. Right. It can result in learning disabilities mm-hmm. and things like that.
Right.
And again, it's so important that we differentiate authentic conditions, authentic mm-hmm. diagnoses.
Right.
from symptoms that are associated with lead poisoning right. or mercury poisoning or other heavy metal mm-hmm. Exposure.
Right.
We can't put them in the same category.
Right.
So I'm not at the all of that was to say, I would not necessarily discourage anybody from doing chelation therapy if there was a test done and it was found that there's heavy metals in the system.
Right. But who knows that with any child.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. If there was some blood work done and it was discovered that there were, right. you know, a high concentration of heavy metals in the mm-hmm. in the child's body, do chelation therapy. It'll get rid right. of those. And then let's see what we have.
Mm-hmm.
But be very cautious. Be very wary if right. you hear anybody, including movie stars, who say that they had a child with autism
right.
who went through chelation and it cured autism.
Right.
That doesn't happen. That mm-hmm. child did not have autism. That child had autistic symptoms,
right.
traits often consistent right. with autism, but that kid had a heavy metal poisoning.
Right. Either the child didn't really have autism,
right.
But he had many of the characteristics. And so you get rid of the heavy metals, you get rid of the characteristics.
Right.
So, yes, because once again, if heavy metals caused autism, then every kid who has elevated heavy metals would have autism, and
right.
that's simply not the case.
And every kid with autism could go through chelation, and it would get rid of it. And right. if anything, our diagnoses are increasing.
And because there are children with autism who don't have right. an excess of heavy metals.
Right. So. And we do understand the argument that, well, maybe it's just one potential cause mm-hmm. for it. Don't really buy that either.
Right.
Again, it causes symptoms, mm-hmm. perhaps, in many that resemble autism,
right.
but it does not cause autism. And so if your child is presenting with autism traits and they do some blood work and they look and they see that heavy metal mm-hmm. presence, chelation may help.
Right.
But if they do a blood test and there's no heavy metals in there, mm-hmm. but your kid has autism symptoms, don't go through that process.
Right.
Don't do that. Put your child through that.
It's an invasive procedure.
It's a challenging procedure.
This is not a simple
right.
procedure. It is an invasive procedure. So,
right.
Yeah. Don't do it unless you absolutely have to and there's some benefit
right.
to the child.
Now, there are other techniques that we would similarly discourage, or maybe even more discourage, and that is we have heard about different bizarre techniques that people use to rebirthing processes and different things to put the child through tremendous stress mm-hmm. and tremendous
yeah.
Processes. Mm-hmm. With the idea that we're going to go through this and it's going to fix everything.
Right.
Those things don't work. Mm-hmm. So
don't chase
again,
them.
It's sort of being disillusioned. Don't be fooled.
That's right. You have to... Two things. If you're going to go on the internet,
mm-hmm.
look for websites that end with .org.
O-R-G, right.
Or .gov.
Mm-hmm.
Or .edu.
Right.
If you go to .com... Mm-hmm. they're going to want to sell you something.
You're not sure, right.
Right, so...
Well, our website says .com.
Right, but we're not selling anything. We're selling ourselves. Well, I shouldn't say it that way, should I?
we're
selling ourselves.
Sort of, well...
No,
no but you're right.
But be careful when you go to .com, because if they start to sell you things, treatments, guaranteed treatments, or this
right.
has worked, go back to the experts, go
right.
back to the people you work with, and by now, by the time you identify that you're dealing with autism, you should have either a pediatrician or mm-hmm. an ABA therapist or a psychologist. You should be connected to some professional who can help guide you through this decision-making process.
Right.
And you have to rely on those people because they do know the science. I mean, yeah, we have .com, but we also read the scientific literature.
Right.
I mean,
right.
So we read those analyses, and we talk to people who are doing these treatments,
right.
and we talk to families who have done these treatments. So rely on the professionals that are part of your treatment team.
Right.
You know,
Don't
just be careful about, it's like this
anything.
Whole immunization thing.
Right.
It continues to be a bogus connection. There is no connection between the two.
Right. Yeah. It's frustrating, but just anytime anything says it's guaranteed or, that it will do this or it will do... Obviously, if it was guaranteed, we wouldn't have the condition anymore.
There was a book written back in the 70s. One of the first bogus cure books I ever read was A Cure for the Problem of A Cure for Dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cocktail of basically antihistamines.
Right.
There is no cure for dyslexia except teaching and instruction.
Right.
Okay?
And even that.
And even that may not work. And so, be very careful because people will sell you things. And,
right.
and we understand, we are parents and we would be looking for whatever we can do for our children.
Right.
So we understand that the desire.
Right.
But be careful because some of these things can be very, very expensive and very invasive.
Right.
There was a wonderful pediatrician years ago. His name was Larry Silver.
Mm-hmm.
And he would do, the American Academy of Pediatrics would have him do an update every couple of years about bogus cures for ADHD. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful service that he provided, because he would go investigate all these proposed cures and he would tell us which ones were bogus and which ones were working.
Right.
It was a wonderful service. So there are people out there doing that.
Right.
So trust the professionals.
Absolutely. So we already mentioned that there are other treatments like psychotherapy and, and relaxation techniques and some of those kinds of things. So those things are good. They're not guaranteed, but they will help relieve some of those associated features. And so you can look into those and explore those, but just be cautious of some of these other.
Yeah, I think for most of the treatments, you're looking for symptom relief.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's agitation, you want to decrease some of the negative characteristics. There are treatments for that. You want to increase some of the positive characteristics. You can access those.
Right.
But you're working at the level of symptom, not at the level of cause.
Absolutely. So, all right. That is it for today.
Yeah.
So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.